Welcome to IEC, where we love God, love people, and make disciples. Here's this week's message from Senior Pastor Dave Connolly.
This morning I thought what I would do is ask Debbie to give me some prayer requests that the kids are making downstairs. Now, for those who don't know, we are doing the 40 days of prayer, and we are doing it in the Sunday school, in the youth group, in the young adults, in the life group, and we're doing it here. And we're doing it because if we are one mind, one heart, one accord, going the same way, trusting in God in a way that we never have before, God will move. Do you believe that? Oh, man, I believe that with all of my heart. And I truly thank those who are going to the life groups. I hear nothing but great reports, people excited, you know, people just pouring themselves out into each other's lives, going through the prayer time and praying and believing for things that they've never prayed for before. I am thrilled beyond. And so when I went through these prayer requests, and I'm going to be so much better than I was this morning when I read these, because these are from kids. These are from kids. And, you know, this is the way we are to come to our Father in heaven. The spelling is not good. Listen to the heart. I'm doing it this way because last time the order killed me. Okay. Dear God, please help me keep myself organized. Organized. So that I don't do anything and I gather wrong, is what's supposed to be next, but it's not there. I'm really sorry. I made mistakes by sinning. Please forgive me. I want God to help me to be good at school and to be better with my homework. I pray for Mom because she has back problems. And I will pray for my uncle because he was running to the bus and he fell on the ground and he broke his toe. I'm praying for my aunt and uncle who are looking after me because my mother died. And I'm hoping to see her in heaven. I hope you can make our earth a better place. God, thank you for everything. Now, we're to come like little children, right? And the only difference between these prayers and our prayers, and that's why God's good to me, because as I'm doing it, it's just, you see, we need to thank God for everything, right? We need to do that. We hope that the things on earth could be a better place, and later on, it'll be because of us, and you'll understand when I say that. We pray and ask God to help us when the ones we love die. And we hope that we will see them in heaven. Amen? No different. No different than ours. We pray for those that we love who are in pain or have fallen down, Pastor Darlene. Right? What's the difference? No difference. No difference. That we want to be good at work and we want to do better at work. What was the last one? Oh, sorry, because of our sins. And don't we say that? Don't we do that? Oh my goodness. There is no difference between these prayer requests and our prayer requests. None. And I think that's amazing because this is how we were to come to God in the first place, right? We are to come to Him humbly, sincerely, just like a child, asking childlike requests that are written in pencil with English that isn't that good. And that isn't that how we come? Wow. That's how we should come. That's how we have to come. If we want to really be humble and sincere before God, you have to come like that. I was checking out the book of Acts, and I thought it was quite interesting that basically all of the people there, when they gather together, they are always praying. And throughout the book, in every chapter, you will find some sort of prayer that is accomplishing something. And that's the secret behind their growth. That's the secret behind their ability to carry on. They pray when they're going through persecution so that they're able to carry on. They pray for Peter, who's in prison. They pray for people who are going through difficult times. They pray for missionaries who are going out. Prayer. Prayer. See, it wasn't that the preaching was the real ministry and the prayer was only done in preparation for it. You literally find the church in prayer in every single chapter of the book. It was fundamental to what they did. We look at prayer as something we do. On the way to ministry, they looked at prayer as the ministry. And it shows. Because when you look in the book of Acts, you see the move and the power of God. You look in Acts chapter 2 and you see that, you know, in 10 days, 3,000 people get saved. They pray for 10 days and 3,000 people get saved. My goodness. We're going to pray for 40 days. Let me work that out. Last week, we talked about how God was a really, really good father and how He is good to us. And I talked about the importance of recognizing who He is in our life and how sometimes we struggle with that term and that identity. But I want to carry on with that and kind of maybe talk more along the lines on that same theme as to how great and awesome our God is. So are you ready? Because our God is an awesome God. Amen. So number one, God is everywhere. I think that we need to realize that God is everywhere. And we see it in God's creation. I don't know if you've ever had anyone say to you, well, you know, what about the people who never have read the Bible? You know, how are they getting to heaven? Well, you see, this is what the text says. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. You see, it's true that they won't have a Bible, but all they need to do is to look at creation, right? You don't need to have a Bible to realize that God is a God of variety. Right? You look around and you see the different trees and the different flowers and the different types of bugs. There are different types of cockroaches. Fish. It's amazing. You look at this creativity, sunrise, sunset. Look at the leaves that are changing now. Picturesque beauty. We know that God's powerful. You look at the thunder and the lightning and the tsunamis and the hail and the earthquakes. God is creative. God is great. God is powerful. He is the master planner. He is the master creator. And He has a design. And you know, it takes more faith not to believe in God than it does to believe in God. Because if we believed in evolution, for example, the goo to you theory that most atheists believe, it would be similar to taking a watch and taking it apart and throwing it into the air, and in 100 million years it would be all put back together again and start ticking. There is a design. people. And the evidence of design means that there is a designer. So the Big Bang Theory, not the TV show, the Big Bang Theory is okay. Because wherever you have a Big Bang, someone had to set off the cannon. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist, I'm sorry. But I do have enough faith to believe in a creator. A creator as I look around me. Or as I watch the birth of a child. You know, there are so many things that talk about the complexity of God. There's design all around us. All around us, without even getting to the Bible. Because our God is everywhere. Everywhere. Number two, we see the awesomeness of God. The awesomeness of God in Jesus' incarnation. When God came to the earth to be a human being, incarnation means God became flesh, right? And in John 1:14, it tells us that he became a human being and walked among us. And the fact that God can be God and he can come to the earth and be a human being and show his power that way solely because he wants to relate with us and communicate with us, that he became one of us, is absolutely amazing. The Bible says in Hebrews that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Are we like that? No. Are we going to be the same forever? No. Every day we change. Every day cells die. Hairs start to fall out. We lose hair. We get wrinkles. Some gain weight. You're not the same as you were yesterday. But Jesus is not bound by time or space. He is just everywhere, and he's powerful. Revelation says, grace and peace be to you. He's talking about Jesus. From him who is, who was, and who is to come. And that includes about everything, right? Everything. And only Jesus can do that. Number three, we see the power of God in the Holy Spirit and his moving. John 3:8 says this, Jesus is talking, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you don't know where the wind comes from or where it's going. That's the way it is with everybody born of the Spirit. You know what he's saying there? You can't put the Holy Spirit in a box. You can't. You know that the wind's blowing, and you know it's coming from here or here, and you hear the sound, but you just don't know. And all of this tells us that God is everywhere. And because he is everywhere, here's the point. We are never alone. We are never alone. I am never alone and you are never alone. Okay? Say that with me. I'm never alone. Never alone. Remember that. You're never alone. Because God is everywhere. Psalm 139, 7 to 12 says this, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your right hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for the darkness is as light to you. He can see everything, knows everything, and is with you at all times. He's everywhere. He's in all things, beginning and the end, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Everywhere. No place cannot be. And that's wonderful, because we know that we will never, ever be alone. And that should help us and encourage us at all times. Now, what has to do with prayer? Well, here's what it is. That since God is everywhere, number one, when we pray, we can look backwards to the cross. Backwards to the cross. You see, when you start to pray, here's what you should do. Don't start with the things that are bothering you today And don't start praying about the things that are a concern to you tomorrow. Look back to the cross. What do we say when we have communion? Jesus told us to remember. We need to remember. And when we remember what Jesus has done for us on the cross, we will then be thankful. Remembering gives us an attitude of gratitude when we look at the cross and we remember all the things that he's done for us. It fills our heart with thanksgiving. And it reminds us that when he died on the cross, how much God loves us so much and how sin is so horrible and how completely we are forgiven. And that's a good way to start off your prayers. How much God loves you, even when your sins were too many to count, and mine much more than yours. What do you know about me then? Thank you, Kathleen. We can look back and see that we are completely forgiven. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19 say this, "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid for with gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God." Oh my goodness, how important is this? How important is this? You know, we have certain things that we value. And we place value on. If you have a house and you look at your house and you say to yourself, well, you know, I can sell this house for $700,000. And then the real estate agent comes and they say to you, oh, no, you could probably sell this house for $800,000. Then they start talking to other real estate people and they go, as they list it on the MLS listings, and they go, oh, no, you could probably get $1 million for this house. Oh my goodness, you're kind of so excited. Let me tell you to settle down. Because what you need to realize is your house is only worth what anybody will pay for it. And so no matter what you think it might be worth, it is only worth what someone will pay for it. So how much do you think you're worth? How much do you think you are worth to God? Look at the cross. God sent his one and only Son to die on that cross for you and me. The Son of God became the Son of Man so the sons of man could become the sons of God. He did what we could not do for ourselves. You could pay. You couldn't pay for all the things that you've done wrong. You couldn't. And I can't. God says, I love these people so much that I'm going to do what it takes. I'm going to come to that earth and die on a cross for them. That's how much you're worth to God. You're never alone, and you are beyond value. Beyond value. Because think about this. Right now, today, all of your sins that you have committed, they are in the past. They're done. They're gone. It's over. I'm sorry, I don't know her name, got up here to dance. The song was, "But I'll Believe." Even though you say that I'm weak, you say that I'm strong, I say that I'm weak. You say that I'm brave when I know I'm not. Here's the problem. That song's tremendous. Here's the problem is that what happens with us is that when God says we come, we pray, we ask for forgiveness, then God goes, yeah, okay, no problem. Sins gone, eradicated. Not only behind my back, God's back, in the depths of the sea. They're gone. They're gone. But here's what happens is that you bring them back. Your sins are forgiven. But because you bring them back in your mind and heart, someone brings them back into your life. Or the enemy continually condemns you. Do you realize that that will destroy you? When God has already said, you are forgiven. Forgiven. It's over with. You do not have to relive it. You do not have to accept it from anyone else. You carry on knowing that God has forgiven you. And when he does, we can rejoice and give him great thanks. Here's the problem. Even though he has forgiven us, before this day is out, I will sin. Don't look at me like that, so will you. We don't want to sin, but we will. And we have to realize that when we do, that the sins have already been paid for on the cross. He took care of it all. Right? Say that with me. He took care of it all. He resolved all of our problems before we knew we had a problem. Because that's how good our God is. Number two, when we pray, we need to look up. Look up into the face of a loving Father. In case you were here with us last week, God doesn't want you to think that he's a dictator, he's mean, he's upset with you, he's angry at you. He's not. He's your Father who loves you and loves you more than you can comprehend. Amen? And this all-powerful God, our God, says, come to me and call me Father. Romans chapter 8, 15 to 17 says, for the Spirit that God has given you does not make you slaves and cause you to be afraid. Instead, the Spirit makes you God's children, and by the Spirit's power, we cry out to God, Father, my Father. God's Spirit joins himself to our spirits to declare that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we will possess the blessing he keeps for his people, and we will also possess with Christ what God has kept for him. For if we share in Christ's suffering, we will also share in his glory. Now, just a sidebar here, if you're going through a difficult time in life and that everything seems to be falling apart in your life, I want you to read that last line to yourself continually, because if we share in the sufferings for Christ, that one day we're going to share in his glory also, one day. And that day is not far off in my mind, and it's going to be tremendous. Let me just kind of break this down quickly. He says that I'm no longer the slave of fear. So when we come to God, we do not have to fear God. We talked about that. And I think it's important to realize that when we talk to God, it's easy to know how people relate to their God by listening to what they're saying. Are they praying to him like a father would, like you talk to your father? Or your prayer is more along the lines of an essay that you're reading to your history professor. You see, he's your father. And you have to relax with that whole setting. He's your father who loves you, died for you, has forgiven your sins, and of course, is with you always. You know, when we are praying like those children pray, I think God's pleased with that. As such, God B wants to know our heart, because he wants us to not express flowery and eloquent prayers. They're to be simple and childlike. Does a two-year-old worry about making a good impression? Have you been with a two-year-old? Great, they don't care. They don't necessarily want to please anyone. They just want to carry on and do what they want to do. But you see, God wants us to be personal. He wants us to pray from the heart. And it's important. And because when we do pray from the heart, that prayer sometimes then needs to cry out. It needs to express ourselves. You know, God wants us to be passionate in prayer. And I guess maybe, you know, as you get older, you forget things. Like, I had three girls, but I don't recall them crying like my grandson cries. He cries all the time. All the time. You know, and so I know what to do when he cries. Sometimes I give him to Sharon. And the other times I give him to Sharon. Because, you know, they're crying, and they're crying. And if they're unhappy because they're crying, I understand that. And they can't talk to us, so that's what they do. They're totally unaware of their surroundings. They just cry. Are you that way in prayer? Or are you more concerned that, you know, when you're in your life group and you're kind of praying, that you're more concerned about what people think about how you pray than what you pray? Are you more concerned about how others will think? Let me tell you something. How others think doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all. You're talking to God, your Father, and He is thrilled that you are. You know, our prayers have to come from the heart. And we sometimes have to cry out that everything in our life is falling apart. Cry out. And keep crying out, especially when our hearts are breaking. Especially when everything seems to be just in disarray. Especially when we don't know what to do. I don't know if you've ever gotten emotional with God. I think sometimes people try to be stoic. I think that we are made in the image of God, therefore sometimes we need to be like God. In some areas of life that when we read the Bible, we'll see that sometimes God gets angry. Now it's a righteous anger, it's a little bit different than ours. But I'm telling you, He gets sometimes got angry. He has other emotions like love and jealousy and I think a bit impatient. I think I threw that in only because of me. Why do you think of this? Why do you think God is like that or why we are like that? Well, we're made in His image. So there ought to be some things in life that make us mad, that give us a righteous anger about things. There ought to be some times that things frustrate us, especially when it comes to the things of the world and the importance of others knowing Christ. So what we need to do is cry out. We sing that song, I cry out for your hand of mercy to heal me. I think maybe we should sing it at times, I cry out for your hand of mercy to help me. Help me. Here's the third thing. God wants us to look up. We need to look up. Did you know that when you pray, the Holy Spirit actually prays through you? Every time you pray, God is actually talking to Himself through you, about you. Now, when I first got saved, that kind of scared me a bit because there are things I'm not telling God in the first place, let alone something inside of me now telling on me. And I had to get an understanding of how all of this is because when you first get saved, some of the things that we tell people, I'm sure they wonder. I wondered about that. But Romans 8:26-27 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through the wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Your loving Father understands that we don't always know how to pray. We don't always know what to say. We don't always know how to express it. But that's okay, you see, because any parent would know that also. If you've ever had a child, you know that when a child comes to you, they can't always get the words out that they want to say, but you know what they're talking about. When they come to you and their feelings are just over the top, they don't have to tell you how they feel. You know how they feel. They don't need to express it. You understand. And that is no different than God our Father. When we come to Him, when we don't know what to say or how to say it, But we need to come because He's our Father. And He's not upset when you say, I don't know what to say. I'm just coming. And God's heart leans towards you, going, hey, no problem. I understand. I'm glad you're here. You don't have to say anything. When you come to pray, just start off just basking in the presence of God. Expressing your heart. Because the Spirit of God is in you, and we are unconditionally accepted by Him. And we have freedom no matter what we go through. The difference being is that when we then know the things in our life that need to be changed, we have to come and ask Him to change it. We do have faults. We do have sins. We need to come to Him. Change me. Change me on the inside. Do you want to be better? I do. I want to be better than I am. And I really won't get any better until I'm challenged. Until my life is changed in some way that I know needs to be done. I can't grow until I'm honest with myself. And I got to remember that God is the God of the second chance. So I can't hide from Him. I don't particularly want to be as open as I should be. But I need to do that self-examination and remove the mask and come to Him open and honest. And that's what we need to do. He wants us to be intimate with Him. And you see, there are levels of intimacy. You could go to a life group and you can say, you know, I've been frustrated in this area. And that's a level of intimacy. You have other levels where you might just kind of like, well, you have more of a greater concern. I think probably maybe the third level would be a friend. A friend. I did a funeral actually on Friday. And the girl who died, the woman who died, was 43. And her best friend got up and talked about her. She said this. She fixed my crown. Now, I've never heard that statement before. I think it's tremendous. Because what that she went to go on to say is that when I wasn't kind of dressed properly, looked proper, or wasn't really on the ball, she would say to me, you need to do this and that. She said she spoke into my life and said things that only she could say. And she would help me with my attitude. And she would tell me the truth. I sat there and I said to myself, I think that is phenomenal. We all need people to fix our crown. Now, it's not just anybody who can do that. That has to be a friend who you love and trust. Just don't do it with anyone because everybody will want to fix your crown. Some of them will probably want to put it on too tight. Others will want to slap you on the side of the head as they do. There are people who want to fix your crown. But there are very few people who really can. Those are the people that you become intimate with. And then there's probably the last level where you invite someone into your life with the warts and everything else about you, the good and the bad, and you say, let's get married. And then you let somebody into your heart at that level, that deeply. It now becomes a greater intimacy, and that's what God wants with you. An intimacy, warts and all. So where do you start? We've got to pray and ask God to help you to look within. Here's I told this story before. I love the story only because, well, I was like, my first pastor was David Sturry. His son was named Stephen Sturry, and Stephen Sturry now preaches in Tweed, Ontario. But Stephen's first message was on the fruit of the Spirit. And he went out into the backyard and he preached to the trees. And he talked to them about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. And as he preached the message, he said that he uses those fruits as yardsticks in his life. And every year, he looks at where he needs to improve in that area. And that's what he works on for the rest of the year. I never forgot it. It was like 100 years ago. I like all those things in my life, you know. I like to be more loving, more joyful, more peaceful, more patient. I like to have more self-control. In fact, there isn't anything on that list I don't want. How about you? You say, Jesus, you're in me. Show me what needs to change in my life. Help me to start the process in my life. Because when you toss a sin out of your life, you need to replace it with something better. Right? Replace it with the fruits. Replace it with the fruits. And eventually, who knows what types of changes will occur in your life. But change will occur. Amen? It will occur. Number four, we look back, we looked up, we look within, now we look around. We look around and ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Often in life, we are able to quickly criticize something. But we should first say to ourselves, what can I do about it? God, use me. Help me. Help me to make something better. You see, God says, I have a plan for you. I have a plan for your life. And let me tell you something. When you know that you are in the plan of God, it is like being in the eye of a hurricane. Because everything else around you can just be all over the place. But you are at calm because you know this is where God wants you and wants you to be and do. You see, what happens is that in life, we go, okay, that's great. God used me. And I understand that. But you see, I used to be used by God, but now I'm too old to be used by God. You're younger than Caleb. I'm too young to do things for God. No, Mary was a teenager. All you have to pray is, God, use me, and God will. God, help me, and He will. You were called for more, each and every one of us. And you go, well, I don't know where. I don't know what to do. Well, then look around, because when you see a need, you are to fill it. Mother Teresa said, just do the normal things with a great amount of love, and God will bless it. Don't try to do something significant right off the top. You'll get there. Start small. I used to be, and I only have my reference here, so please forgive me, but I used to be an elder or an usher. I was an usher. And then from an usher, I went to the sound room. And then from there, I went to the worship. I led worship. Then I became a deacon. And then God called me out of here to Calgary, where I was the pastor looking after the Sunday school and the youth ministry, looking after the administration of it. Then I was the administrator. Then I came here and was the pastoral care pastor, the associate pastor, now the senior pastor. And for 39 years, I poured my heart into doing things that I believe are for the good of God's kingdom. And so have you. And what happens is that I know me. And then I remember how we can affect one another by watching one another. And that will help us to maybe say, I can do that. And I remember when Jean Ballantyne, rest her soul, was a deacon. She tells a story of, and I'm going to embarrass Pastor June, I'm sorry, but what happens is that Jean Ballantyne was in the washroom, ladies' washroom was overflowing. And she was at the deacon's meeting, and she tells this story. She says, I didn't know what to do. So I said to myself, what would Pastor June do? And so she went and got a mop, and she mopped it up and put it in a bucket. Sometimes when we see other people do things, When other people see you do things, they might want to do that. There isn't one elder, pastor, deacon, director of ministry that hasn't started off doing something small, and God has promoted them all the way through, and in most of these cases will continue to do so. Because once you start trusting God and stepping out and making a difference, God will use you. He wants to. And you'll make a difference in the lives of other people around you. You are important. And God made you for more. Start the process. God, use me. And lastly, look ahead. Look forward. We've looked at the past. We've looked up. We've looked within, we've looked around, now we're looking forward. When I pray, I start on Monday and I take a chunk of time because it's the beginning, and I spend time with God at the beginning of the week, planning my day, planning my month, what's ahead, looking as to who I need to pray for, who's doing things in the church when we have events, things that I need to do and how I need to do them, when I need to put them into place as to how I can accomplish it within the week. There are things that I sit down, I talk to God about, asking Him to help me, because there are so many things at times I don't know what to do with them. I look ahead for the next 6 months, and I follow through every 6 months, making sure that everything seems to be in place. I start planning for my year early, normally around July for the following year. And I start looking at things as to what needs to be done. And I start praying to God, asking Him to help me and direct me, because that's what I want. I want to be led by the Spirit so I know what to do. Because anybody can read a self-help book. Anybody can look to the books to help them, and maybe, oh, well, they're written by man. I'm going to look at the book that's written by God. That's going to give me wisdom and insight and help me in my journey of life. I will sit and I will pray and I will ask God on occasion during that time about my own life plans, as to what I see God doing within me and how I can do more and how I can reach out and how I can make a difference where I'm at, what I do. And it's important. That Monday morning to me, it's one of the sweetest times I have. And I am talking to God about things that are important to Him too. My plans, my dreams, my goals, my heart. And it's important to set some time specifically for that. Because, I mean, there are things that we need to talk to God about. How to prioritize. I mean, I say to God, there's things that I will never get done today. Where do I put them? He knows that I'm not going to get them done. Or I pray, God help me. God, put some people in my path to help me, to do what I want to do. There's a sign that I had that I reminded myself. I put it in my office. It says, God's got this. God's got this. And no matter what endeavor is started, God will provide the help. And I see it all the time because it's important to me to remind myself that God's going to do something great in this church and that there's going to be a rising up that's going to make a huge difference here. I believe it with all my heart. I pray it because I want to see God's best in every single one of our lives, because we can do great things for God and we can do them together. We need to pray and believe. Philippians 1:6 says, I am confident of this. That God who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You can take that to the bank, people. I am confident that God who began a good work in you, who just started that work in you, maybe had a little seed that He planted within you, is watering it. He will continue to complete it. It's not all on you. He is going to continue to complete it. He will make sure that things are done to make the way to make it happen. He is faithful to complete it. until the day of Jesus Christ. When? Until Christ comes. Because our Father has a plan for our lives. Amen? Each and every life He has a plan for. And He loves us. And He loves you. And He loves me. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, He loves you. And He does. He is faithful to us. Hector came and Marva, his cousin from England, just fainted in the back. So we're going to pray for her before we leave. And I pray that all of us have an understanding that this week is going to be a spectacular week and that we're going to be able to make a difference as we pray. Amen? Amen. So we're going to pray for her. Father, we thank You so much that today You have touched the lives of many and encouraged us because that's the way You are. We pray for Marva, who is out in the foyer. We ask that You touch her and revive her and strengthen her, and she finds out why she failed. I pray, Lord, that she will be fine, that there will be the ability for the doctors to say, okay, well, no problem. But we ask that You extend Your hand from heaven and touch her mightily, because that's what we want to see happen. So, Lord, for Your honor and for Your glory, would You touch her? And for that and everything in our lives, we give You praise and thanksgiving. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. See you next week. God richly bless you. Bring somebody with you. I love you.
Thank you for joining us today. We always appreciate hearing how God is moving in your life. And everyone has a story to tell. We'd love to hear yours. So please visit us at iecfamily.com and click on the link that says Your Story. Also, if you'd like to support the ministry of IEC financially, you can do so by clicking on the giving link. Thank you again for taking the time to partner with us in this mission.